little light ever comes on in on you. What a day. What a day. Won't that be a blessing? Can you imagine me with a glorified body? Hallelujah. All you see is a streak of light. There he goes. There he comes. Shoo, I love to think about it. That's as real as I'm looking in your face. Hey, what a day's down the road waiting on us. Somebody said, Brother Sisson, I feel so sorry for you. I don't know why. I have had the best time of my life. Amen. And usually, as a general rule, I'm usually up. I love living. I like it. Some of y'all look like you need something. Now you think about it. Going to heaven, not hope so, not guess so, not maybe, but going. What do you think about that? And that God knows every phase of our life. I love to think about it. I was telling, this is my thinking, and I know it's dangerous. But Brother Yandel I think that somehow or another that God's going to explode in these young people. Boy, I hope He does. I hope I'm here when He does explode in them. Amen. I sense in these young people. I asked them today how many of them really was not ashamed to raise their hand that they were saved. And a great deal of them raised their hand. And that's a blessing to get young people, you know, to raise their hand amongst other young people. But getting them to admit to make the right choices in life. And I've made wrong choices. If you'd be honest, most of us made bad choices sometime or another. Amen. Now, if you won't say amen, do this, please. And young people, I know a lot of times, and I admire grace. I really, truly do. I admire all you teachers. I admire you people that try to instill and input things in young people's lives. Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever contemplated this? That if we don't capture them for the tomorrows, think about what tomorrow will be like. And I know it's a lot of work. I understand that, to have a school like you folks have got. And I'll be honest, boy, hey, God knows. I went down to a little place called, right outside of 9/11, went to Albemarle, North Carolina. And a young girl was named Candace. And she asked me, she said, Brother Sisson, would you come, if I can arrange it, would you come and preach for us at our school? I said, you arrange it, I'll come. So that was right after 9/11. Remember, I'm going to a public school. I haven't been in a public school and, Lord help us, I don't even want to think about it. I pull in on the preacher and I, we pull in to where they have guest parking. It's hard to believe this, and a lot of people's thinking in mind. Did you know they cannot get off of a bus in Albemarle, North Carolina, till there is a security guard or somebody there present before they get off the bus? Okay, so I park my car in the guest parking, and we're headed to the place to where I'm supposed to preach at. I have never in my life, and all, I've never seen anything like that in my life. The most obscene four-letter words that you've ever, out here in the secular world, that used to bar rooms and poo room language coming out of them students' mouths. In fact, I told that one little colored girl, I said, God save you, He'll clean your mouth up. Need to say she didn't like me too good. But when we went inside of the gym, and I thought they would be just a handful. I thought they'd just be, you know, a handful of people. When I went in that gym, there's probably 100, 150 sitting up on the bleachers. And they gave me 30 minutes. And I preached as hard as I could for 30 minutes. Just as hard as I could for 30 minutes. When we got done, and we started to, and Candace said, Brother Sisson, could we form a circle and could we have prayer before we go to our classes? I said, come on. They all come out of the bleachers, every one of them, and formed a circle all the way around the gym, and we held hands and had prayer. Now, this is in a public school. Okay, then what we did was this. That was that month. She asked me, she said, when can you come back if I can set it up, and could you preach for us again? Now, remember, I'm in the Carolinas all the time. I said, you just set it up, and I'll let you know when I'm going to be with Brother Joe. And I said, I would come down and preach for you. So anyway, they set it up again. This time when I went in, guess what? They had these monitors. Do you know what I mean by monitors? Adults. to make sure that I didn't cross the line. For 30 minutes, I smoked the airways. And listen to this. I know it's hard to conceive, but these young people that I'm talking about, when we had prayer, there was little puddles of tears all over the hardwood floor. And I know sometimes, and watch this, they're amidst this, you can't believe what they're surrounded by. Out of, say, of a 1,500 student body, 100 of them love God, and they're surrounded by all this other 1,400 of just nothing but evil. You can't believe how they dress. If I tried to tell you, you wouldn't believe how they dress. You wouldn't believe it. I don't even know how in the name of heaven that they can even have a class in a public school. Is anybody listening to me at all? Yeah, I walked into that classrooms, and God is my witness, girls with, they call it cleavage, down to here. Boys with cut-off Levi's up to here. You never seen nothing like that in your life. And it's amazing. It's amazing to me. And here's another thing that'll blow you out of the saddle. Y'all want to know this? They got full-time nurses to take care of nothing but young girls with children. And they supply them with contraceptives. Dear Lord, I don't know why I'm off on this. I mean, they do that. I could not believe it. I mean, honestly, if I'd had false teeth, they'd have fell out. I couldn't believe some of the things that I saw in that public school. Man, alive, help. Would y'all say help us? I'm saying I admire, and I know it's a lot of economic upkeep. I understand that to have a school. I know it's a lot of work on him, all the teachers. I understand that. But that song we sang, if we could just salvage some of their lives, it'd be worth it all. Amen. Just some of them. Say amen, D.W. It's hard to get anything out of him over here. Won't need no law down at Princeton, give me the why. Let's be good tonight. Boy, y'all need help. What have y'all taken again? Let's go. Open your Bible, please. How many of you hold up your Bibles real high? Got your Bible? Hold it up. Right kind. Good to see Brother Ron. Oh, yeah, Brother Jay. You want to wave it? Good to see you, buddy. We got him out of Wales. We're going to send him back one way. That boy's a sight. I love him. Hey, open your Bible, please. The book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. Lay your finger there. Book of Matthew chapter 13. Lay your finger there. Book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Lay your finger there. I want to read to you, if you don't mind. Now, we're going to come back to Acts, please, chapter 8 in just a moment. But I want you to read with me in 2 Corinthians in chapter 13. I want to read verse 3. Everybody, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and we'll read verse 3 when you find your place. In order to conserve time. Ready? Now, remember, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. And he says this in verses 3. Hey, folks, it's too good. Let's read verse 1. This is the third time that I have now come unto you, Paul says. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. I told you before and foretold you if I were present. The second time, being absent now, I write to you to them which hitherto have sinned and to all others, that if I come again, I will not spare. How many of y'all see that? Would you raise your hand? He says, I will not spare. Now, you can read whatever you want to read, but Brother Paul's upset. He is upset. All you got to do is read the previous chapter. He says, I will not spare. Drop down, verse 3. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Look, if you would, in verse 5. Paul thunders out, examine yourselves. Look in your Bible. Examine yourselves. Now watch it. Whether you be in the faith. He says, prove your own selves. Know you not that your own selves have, that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. Look in your Bible. Watch what he says. He says, examine yourselves. He says, whether you be in the faith, and prove your own selves. Do you ever do that? Do you ever examine your own self? Do you ever do that? Do you ever just say, Spirit of God, bear witness with my spirit? Do you ever do that? He says, examine yourselves, prove your own selves, and then he says, whether you be in the faith, look in your Bible, and he says, except you be reprobate. And the word reprobate means tested out, worthless. Oh, brother, sister, watch this. Paul says, examine yourself. Then he says, prove your own selves. Go back to chapter 11 just for a moment. Look in chapter 11. Look, if you don't mind, and look in verse 3. Paul says, but I fear, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preacheth, would y'all say it back to me? Another Jesus. Do y'all see that? Anybody in here, do y'all know who Louis Farrakhan is? If I say the word Louis Farrakhan, do you know who I'm talking about? How many of you know who I'm talking about? Louis Farrakhan says he is the black Messiah. He does. He says, I am the black Messiah. Notice in your Bible, he says, he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. Secondly, whom we have not preached, Paul says, or if you receive another spirit. And notice the word spirit is not capitalized. He says, another Jesus, another spirit. Now drop down. He says, which you have not received, or another gospel. Notice in your Bible, one, he says, another Jesus. Paul's day. Then another spirit. Number three, another gospel which you have not received or accepted, you might well bear with him. So Paul says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Examine yourself. Prove your own selves. Examine yourself. Look at me for a moment. We're naive to believe that everybody that says they're saved is saved. We're naive to believe that. What do you mean, preacher? Turn with me right fast to Matthew chapter 13, and let me show you this. Most of you know this, but we're going to read to Matthew 13. Look in your Bible, please, in Matthew chapter 13, and I'll start reading, if you would, in verses... Let me read verses 24 while you're turning. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, what will thou that we should go and gather them up? Verse 29, he says, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together. Watch this now. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together, first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. Watch. But gather the wheat into my barn. In that there you find the definition of a tare. Paul says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Here he's talking about a wheat and a tare. They look so much alike, but you know the difference between a wheat and a tare? A tare will never drop its head, but a full wheat will drop its head down. What are you trying to get me? See, brother, sister, there's more to salvation than coming in walking down an aisle. There's more to salvation than shaking hands with the preacher. There's more to salvation than submitting yourself to baptism. There's more to salvation than having your name on a church roll. Boy, thank God, hey, real salvation is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Preacher, sister, now watch it. Look, they look alike. They sing alike. They dress alike. They're planted together. They progress together. They're even processed together in that chapter of Matthew 13, talking about wheat and tare. Look at your Bible, the deception of it. Their good works. I see so many people, they're always started rationalizing themselves. Well, I'm as good as Brother Lawrence, and I don't drink, and I don't cuss, and I don't go there, and I don't do this, and I've never had an abortion. I've not killed anybody, and they start this junk, and they're always equating themselves and by something that somebody else has done that they don't do. That they don't do. I would never be involved in what they're involved in. Boy, I admire good moral people. Would y'all say amen? Man, I admire people that don't drink. I admire people that don't go these hell holes. I admire people that can say, I don't even know what liquor tastes like. But can I tell you, if the blood's not applied, they'll go to the same hell. Boy, that bothers me. I meet a lot of good moral people. I mean, listen, I know some people, I'm going to call names. I know some people that are involved in United Methodist. United Methodist. Let me give you this a classic example. There was a man by the name of Cyclone Mack. His name was Baxter McClendon. He was one of the greatest preachers that ever drawed a breath. But he was what you call a pillar of fire Methodist. He would put most Baptists to shame. Boy, is it quiet in here. Is my tie crooked? I got some of his material in my library. Most Baptists could not even handle what he preached in the 30s. I'll give you another classic example. Boy, we've come a long way from what they call the Pillar of Fire Methodist. We've come a long way from what Cyclone Max preached until now. Did you know, and there's a whole lot of United Methodists, that they're not involved in this, but a whole lot of them, they're involved in the liquor crowd. By the way, a lot of Baptists are too. Ain't that pathetic? I'm going to preach this. Takes me all night. I'm talking about, you'd be shocked to death how many people. I got a brother-in-law that's a lawyer. Need to say he and I clash. We don't get along 5 minutes. You put us in the same room, we fight. He said that he had the nerve to tell me that he sits down with his preacher, parenthesis, and his board, and they sit down and they have a meeting on discussing on how to govern the church. And I asked him, I said, Bob, and he's been elected 3 times, prosecuting attorney, he's a good lawyer, but he sure don't know God, and he's a Bible, what you call a Bible Presbyterian. He said, well, my priest, he drinks, or that's what he called him, he didn't. He said, well, we sit and we drink a beer occasionally. I sit and discuss in church business. Well, yeah. What's wrong with that? I said, Bob, if the Spirit of God lives inside of you, how in the name of heaven could you drink liquor? Here's what he said. Well, the Bible says, I love it. Take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. He said, after all, Jesus turned the water into wine. I said, Bob, the water that Jesus turned into wine was not fermented drink. He said, do you have to get so loud? I said, Bob, there's 5 different kinds of wine in the Word of God. One of them, Isaiah says, as the new wine is found in the cluster. And that's a grape, just pure grape juice. I've been to Israel. I've drank out of them skins. I know what I'm talking about. It's not fermented drink. Would y'all say amen to me? But we got people today that put their approval upon it. I know y'all don't believe this. I know of a church in Cold Spring, Kentucky, that they have dances. They let their young people go down unchaperoned. They have dances for the young people, and they serve 2% beer. Ain't that a shame? Say amen to me. Lord God, I'm going to get me a record. Somebody play me 19 amens back right quick. Ain't that pitiful? And do it under the guise of a so-called church. Let's go back now. Hang on. We're talking about wheat and tare. We're talking about the description. Now go with me right fast to Acts, please. Get a real good grip on your seat. Look in your Bible, please, in Acts chapter 8. We remember now that Paul says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. That's what he said. Then he says, another Jesus, another Spirit, another gospel. All right, if they were back there in the days of Paul, have you ever thought about it? The demons of hell have honed their skills. Say amen to me. They've honed their skills. And the devil is a master at deception. I'll prove it to you. Look, please, in Acts chapter 8. We're going to start now. Remember in chapter 7, we find a man by the name of Stephen has now been stoned to death. In Acts 8, we find, look in verses 1, there's great persecution. There's great lamentation in verse 2. But down in verse 5, it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. How many of y'all remember Samaria in the Bible? Would you raise your hand? How many of y'all remember in the book of John, Jesus and the water, the woman at the well? How many of y'all remember? He says, I must needs go through Samaria. Say amen to me. But how many of y'all remember this? She says, thou being a Jew and me being a Samaritan, we have no dealings with each other. How many of y'all remember that? Watch this. An Orthodox Jew, when he come in the presence of a Samaritan, he would clear his throat and spit in front of them. They had no dealings with them. They were half-breeds. Look in your Bible. And here is Philip going down to Samaria. God. Hey, they've witnessed now the death, the burial, and the resurrection. These men have got God on them. He goes down to this wicked, ungodly place called Samaria. Look in your Bible. And preach Christ unto them. Not games, not amusement, not entertainment, but preach Jesus to them. Amen. Now watch this. I'm going to have me a spell in a minute. Drop on down. I do have one of them occasionally. Look down, if you would, in verses 6. And the people with one accord, they gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Look, if you would, in verse 7. Unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them and were taken with palsies and that were lame and were healed. And there's great joy in that city. Man, hey, there's having a moving of God. Say amen. A moving of God. But now watch this. Look down in verse 9. He says, but, that word is but is a conjunction. He says, but there was, now watch this, a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city, would y'all say it back to me? Used what? Say it. Say it again. He used sorcery. It's used four times in the Word of God. Every time, guess what? It's always translated. Drugs. Apothecary. What is the predominant thing in our society today? It's spelt drugs. Now watch this, hang on. He used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. We've still got him today. You ought to see some of the stuff that I personally have got. This man by the name of Benny Hinn, I'll call his name. It don't bother me. There's some others out that more Sorello, I'll call his name. How about that one? There's some more. Listen to this man by the name of Benny Hinn. Did you know he drives Maseratis? He's got one that out of made in Italy that's cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. Did you know that when he walks in that they've got a spotlight that on this man as he walks down the aisle? Giving out that himself was some great one. Look at your Bible. His wife has got a receiver in her ear. She interviews these people. Now, I know what I'm talking about. I ain't going to start no war with you people. Don't you let people give him millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. What are you trying to get me to see, Brother Sisson? Look in your Bible. They've got these men today running all over the country, and the Bible says, and watch this, and I'll show you that in a minute. He says, examine yourself, see whether you be in the faith, whether you be reprobates or not. And notice in your Bible, Paul said that this man, in the book of Acts, he's talking about Simon, he used sorcery, but look down in verse 10. To him they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. How many of y'all see that? How many of y'all see it? The city said, this man is the great power of God. In other words, they could not differentiate between the difference. Amen, sister. He had a persuasion on them. Would you let me show you something while I'm there? Will you? Go to the book of Acts with me, just over a few pages, please. Let me show you this just for a moment. I want everybody to get over. Just turn over a few pages in your Bible. I want to show you. I believe it's chapter 16 just for a moment. Turn over there just for a moment. Look in chapter 16 in your Bible. And read with me in verses 16, please. Now remember, there in the church, in the book of Acts, man, hey, God's using these men. Amen. Boy, they're in that transition period. The power of God in their people's lives is being changed. So, I mean, demons are being cast out. The sick is being made whole. But they're fighting these counterfeits. Look in your Bible. Now look in verse 16. Ready? It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of what? Say it back to me. Divination. Watch this now. Watch this. That beats anything. We got one in Somerset. Beats anything I ever seen in my life. Got a sign out there that says, number one psychic in the South. And watch this. You got a sign out there that says, blow the horn. I thought she's supposed to know everything. Ain't that pitiful? Ring the doorbell. I thought she's supposed to know. Little dumb. Shut up, Melvin. Let's go back. Now watch this. Ready? Drop on down. Now watch. And they which met us that brought her master much gain by soothsaying. Now look in verse 17. The same followed Paul. Watch this now. And us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. Look in verse 18. Notice what she did. She was even saying, these men are showing us the way of salvation. Look in verses 18. This did she so many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee to come in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And what does it say? What's it say, Miss Kathy? And it says, he came out of her. So you got a male spirit inside of a female. Would y'all please look at your Bibles? That's what it does say. It says, he came out of her. I'm going to preach this, Brother Lawrence. It may get quiet. But it says, he came out of her. Look in your Bible. Now watch it. He came out of her at the same hour. And when her master saw that woman, that her hope of her gains was gone, they drew Paul and Silas, drew them out into the market, and placed on the roof, and watch this, and give them a good beat. Now, what are you trying to get me to see? Could I tell you that the wheat and the tares are going to coexist together till the day Jesus takes us out of here? Now, you watch this. Are y'all ready? Go back to Acts, please, chapter 8. Everybody get there. Now, watch this. This man by the name of Simon is using sorcery. He's bewitched the whole city. He's got some kind of a clandestine power over them. It's demonic. Would y'all say amen? It's demonic. He's got a spell hanging over them. Now then, here comes a Philip down, preaches Jesus to them. He loses all of his followers. You watch what's fixing to happen. Look down in verses 12, please. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Watch. Verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also. Oh, look out now. Right away, little everybody said, whoa, Simon got converted. He did not. He did not get converted. The Bible says in the book of James, in James 2 and verse 19, the devils believe and tremble. Now watch this. I'll show you. We'll look inside of him in just a moment. Watch here. And when he was baptized, oh, he was even baptized. What do you think about that? Here's your good one. Here's the best one I've ever seen in my life. Everywhere I go, they'll go be baptized, and invariably there'll be somebody say, do you feel better? How many times y'all heard that? They'll say, do you feel better? In other words, the implication is, after you're baptized, you should feel better. Hello. Your baptism has got nothing to do with your salvation. Your baptism, amen, Brother Sisson, what are you trying to get me to see? But some long tongue, they'll say, do you feel better? I know what's going through some of y'all's mind. Brother Sisson, don't feelings don't have anything to do with it? I feel good because I am saved. Hey, like that. But I don't trust my baptism, Brother Nathan. Here's your giving. You say, well, I don't feel nothing. Maybe you ain't got nothing. Did I say that? Put it on rewind again. Let me show you this. Goes back. Look in your Bible. Look in Acts 3. Look in Acts, please, chapter 8. So we find that he was baptized, and the Bible says, and Philip wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which he were done. So you see, he lost his hold over these people, right? Now that he submitted himself to baptism, and it says now he wondered. Now watch your next verse, boy, you watch it. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, and they sent them unto Peter and John. Look at it. And who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they that were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. Watch now. When Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost, he offered them money. Do y'all see that? How many of y'all see it? We'll get on with this in a minute. He offered them what? Money. Now watch this. Watch. Next verse. Saying, give me also this what? Now we're seeing a little bit about inside of this guy. Amen. He's lost his hold over the city. Now watch it, because of Philip's preaching. And so he's now submitted himself. They went and baptized him. He's following Philip around, and he sees Peter and John come down, lay hands on them, boy. He sees this, and he says, now then, if I do this, I'll get this back. You watch what's fixing to happen. You wait till I put all this together. Some of y'all may lose y'all's Mount Vernon false teeth. Look down, if you would, please, in verses 19. Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Peter said unto him, thy money, thank God, a child of God will never perish. Amen. He says, thy money perish with thee. Now watch this carefully. Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Watch it. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thine heart is not right in the sight of God. Was he saved? No, he was not a saved man. Amen. He's like so many people sitting on pews today. They've walked down a church aisle, They shook hands with the preacher. They know nothing about coming to the end of themselves, trusting the shed blood minus nothing plus nothing. You're not saved by water. You're not saved by water. You're not saved by works. You're not saved by somebody putting a wafer on your tongue. You can't, hey, Miss Kathy, you cannot believe this at the time that I've had this to happen. And you take somebody that will get saved and watch this, invariably the mother will say, "But honey, I was there when you went forward." Or here's another one, "I was there when you were baptized." And they'll try their best to talk their children, their offspring, out of what they just done because they'd done something 25 or 30 years ago. Ain't that pitiful? And they're empty inside as a shotgun shell that's been shot. And you try your best. You're not saved by water. You're not saved by wafers. You're not saved by works. I told somebody the other day, if it was works, how do you know when you've done enough? Boy, I'm glad it's a gift. Would y'all say amen? It's not a matter of how much money you give or how bad you are, how good you are. When you come to the end of yourself and you say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," God will save you. Amen. You don't have to go through life wondering. Ain't that a blessing? Well, I'm going to have me a spell. Let me go back looking. I've got to quit this stuff. Go back, look in verse 5. "This man, by the name of Simon, heard powerful preaching." Look in your Bible. Verse 6. "He heard and saw miracles." The greatest miracle you'll ever see is when somebody gets saved. Amen. But everybody wants to see. I told somebody, my heart breaks for people that's got cancer. My heart breaks for people that's got these debilitating diseases. If I had it, boy, I'd cure every one of them. Son, if I had the gift, I'd lay it on them all. Say amen. There'd never be another sick person today. Anybody ever seen Alzheimer's? Is that not a terrible disease? Is it not terrible to see somebody contact that disease and can't even go from one room and don't even know if you had to lead them to the bathroom and then they can't even find their way back to the living room? These men say they've got the gift of healing. Shut up, Melvin. Be good. Hey, look here, he heard powerful preaching, verse 5, heard and saw miracles, verse 6. Look in verse 7, he was amidst of a great citywide revival meeting. Look, if you amidst the truth in verse 12, believed the preaching, verse 13, and believed in baptism. The Bible says he was baptized. Watch this, are y'all ready? He was even faithful, the Bible says, and concerning the kingdom of God, and the Bible says, and watch this, he continued with Philip. Hey, like that, follow him around like a little pup. Watching Philip, watching everything Philip done. Now, won't you watch this? Are y'all ready? There's five truths, and I want you to write them somewhere on the flyleaf of your Bible, and I hope you'll never forget them. Paul said, talking to the church of Corinth, he says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith." Say amen. Amen. We all ought to go back and be able to go back to a time in our life to when we received Christ as our personal Savior. Would y'all say amen? You should be able to go back there and be able to do that. When you come to the end of yourself and you said, "God," you know what's missing in our Baptist churches today? It's called Holy Ghost conviction. I know what Brother Lawrence meant yesterday, last night. Hey, we sowed so many seeds back there in years gone by. We gave away everything under God's green earth, from baboons to balloons to used cars. We gave away everything in the world to get people to come to the house of God and watch this. I was in Cincinnati for years. They tape $5 bills underneath the seats and they drive 100 miles out and 100 miles bus them one way to a church. A lot of the young girls was even attacked and assaulted on the buses. They had a preacher that done this. He had the devil day. Ain't that boy? Devil. Had him dressed up in a red costume with two horns and a pitchfork, and he stood out front of the church house and with a big old pitchfork waving everybody away. I thought, is that real spiritual? Had this one guy, God is my witness, having this great big day. And he says, if we have so many in church, I'll tell you what we'll do. He says, I'll have this guy to fly over and he'll skydive. He'll land on our church parking lot. Some of y'all may remember this. Oh, they had the attendance. And he did. He jumped out of the airplane and was going to land on the church parking lot. But here's what he done. He landed on the church steeple. And when he fell off of that, fell on the blacktop, broke both of his legs. That's real spiritual. So now then, look here. They're sitting on these pews. I'm not trying to be ugly, but they're sitting there and they don't know nothing about convicting power of the Spirit of God. They don't know nothing about it. What do you mean, preacher? And it breaks my heart because I know a lot of them. I mean, God knows I know a lot of them. Preachers are burning themselves out. Can't get them to come on Sunday night. Can't get them to come on Wednesday night. Can't get them to go soul winning. Can't get them singing in the choir. Can't get them to teach a class. Can't get them to do nothing for God.
Then what kind of preacher they got?
You really want me to? He's got hair down to here. And he's a reprobate. And he uses an NIV. Ain't that pitiful? So if you entertain the flesh, it's got to always be entertained. So now we're all in the entertainment mode. I'm talking about church. And so they equate success by this. They say, well, we had so many this past Sunday. Now, explain me. I'm glad I didn't get caught up in that stuff. That ain't got nothing to do with anything. Brother Noble, what good would it do to build 15 auditoriums like this and fill it up to the capacity and the rapture occur and only 10% of them leave? Does that make a lick of sense to anybody in this building? But that's what's happening. I know churches that are having dances. I know churches that are having everything under God's green earth to attract their youth. You mean to tell me that you people would even not even be... Surely to goodness you ought to jump up and have a spell and condemn this thing and have what they call a sweetheart dance and two young people go down in the church gym or church fellowship hall somewhere and have a dance, unchaperoned, put their bodies together, rub their bodies together. God, ain't a million miles of that trash. Amen. Brother, sister, but we gotta do something to capture our youth. Well, if the Word of God captured me and you, the Spirit of God, He took and treed us. Ronnie, would you please say amen to me? Thank you, son. Hey, Brother Noble, I love it. Do y'all know anything about what I mean by the Spirit of God treeing you? This old gentleman, bless his heart, he was up in his 70s, and he wore bibbed overalls every night at services. And I love him, boy. I mean, I love him. They said, you can't believe. They said, C.L. is coming to church. We can't believe it. We can't believe he's coming to church. Big land baron, owned hundreds of acres, farms everywhere. Boy, he'd come to that revival meeting. I'd preach like a wild man. And I'd be back there in the back and I'd say, boy, it's so good to have you tonight, C.L. Come back tomorrow night. I'm coming, he'd say. I'd say, good. I told him, I said, hey, when he comes, would y'all please do this for me? I said, quit putting him in the middle of the pew. Put him on the end where he can get out easy. Where he don't have to get over top of everybody. Man, I know when somebody's under conviction. It's on Thursday night. Man, he'd been every night. I said, see, are you going to come tomorrow night? No. I said, why not? He said, I'm going to go coon hunting. I said, oh, you can go coon hunting anytime. Now listen to this. I said, oh, please come back tomorrow night. I said, we're going to close out, Lord willing, Friday night. I said, come on back tomorrow night. I said, you need to come. He said, well, I'm going to go coon hunting. Like that. So help me, on Thursday night, I looked at it coming a little bit late. Here comes CLN. And guess what they done? They put him right in the middle. Everybody again put him right in the middle, just surrounded him. He's real backwards anyway. Boy, I preached that night. Boy, I pleaded and I begged, gave the invitation. All of a sudden, CL come out over top of every one of them, and here he come to the altar. Oh, thank God. That church went wild, amen, when he got saved. Him and them bibbed overhauls. I said, CL, I said, tell him what happened to you. He said, you don't never know what's going to happen. Now, we just got him up off of his knees. He's real elderly. I said, tell him what happened to you. He said, I just got saved, but I almost went coon hunting. My big mouth, I said, nah. I said, CL, I said, Holy Ghost done had you treed. Woo! Woo! He treed you up a tree, amen. And watch this. He's still there, been baptized, and he's a member of the church and an officer of the church. What do you think about that, amen? What I'm trying to get you to see tonight, there's so many that are sitting on church pews, they want